My text for today is from the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. I'll start in the 7th verse and just read 5 verses for you. Luke writes, "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, 'Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him.' And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them for a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive, and they were greatly comforted." Heavenly Father, some of the texts that we read are in Scripture are just as clear, and they speak to us as if you were right here and we were having a conversation. And some of them they're just kind of elusive. What are you trying to tell us in these passages? And Lord, we pray that you come upon us, unpack the text in a way that not only makes sense as to what was going on back then, but has an application in our time that enables us to make a difference in the lives of others for all time. Come, Lord Jesus. In your name we do pray it. Amen and amen. Some years back, a dear member of the congregation who has long since gone to glory, she called and said she needed to make an appointment with me. She told the receptionist that she had a confession to make. I knew the lady well, had ministered to her for a number of years. She was up in years herself and a saintly person. I just couldn't imagine what in the world she would have to confess. Couldn't imagine it. See? Her husband of many decades had died some years earlier, and since that time she'd busied herself doing little things for her friends and neighbors. Those kind of little things that mean so much to other people, particularly shut-ins. So I thought about it. I thought about what could this saintly lady who was about to turn 90 years old, what could she possibly have to confess? Well, at the appointed time, she was there at my office. I helped her to my office, and when she sat down, she began. She said, I'm here because I need to apologize. I want to apologize because last Sunday I went sound asleep during your sermon. I immediately reached into my desk and took out a piece of notepaper and a pen, and I started to write. And as I was writing, I told her, I said, "I'm giving you written permission to sleep at will during my sermons if you will promise to get one of the CDs and listen to the sermon at home." Now, back then, we didn't have all the technology we do now, and so the sermons were recorded. They were put on CDs, and folks could pick them up anytime during the week. I then gave her the little note that I'd written, and there really seemed to be a genuine smile of relief on her face. See? But a month or so later, she came back to me, had a twinkle in her eye, and she said, "I did it again. I did it again. I went to sleep during your sermon, but I did just as you had asked me to do. I got the CD, I took it home and listened, and I need to confess that I fell asleep at the same place again." Perhaps some of y'all have heard of Henry Ward Beecher. He was a famous preacher back in the mid-1800s up in the area of New York and New England. He was a powerhouse, dynamic preacher, and he just could not abide looking out and seeing somebody sleeping during one of his sermons. So he instructed the ushers, if they saw someone dozing off, to shake the person, to rouse them up. Repeat offenders, however, were turned over to the head usher, who carried a whistle. A whistle. And when he saw someone dozing off for the second or third time, he would sneak up behind him and get real close as he could, and then he would blow that whistle as loud as he could directly into their ears. It is said that few people ever had to hear that whistle blown in their ears more than once. Now, thankfully, we haven't had to resort to such tactics. Not yet, anyway. Thankfully, too, Paul's ushers did not have whistles. Because, you see, if they'd had whistles, we might never have heard of this young man named Eutychus. So let's take another look at our text for today from the 20th chapter of St. Luke's Book of the Acts. The setting is Paul's third missionary journey is coming to a close. He's making a farewell visit to the different congregation, and here we see him stopping by to say farewell to his friends in the town of Troas. It was a Sunday evening. A large crowd had gathered to hear Paul preach for the final time and to celebrate Holy Communion with him for the final time. It was standing room only. In fact, the crowd was so large that Eutychus, the only seat he could find, was on a window ledge of a third-story window. The combination of this large crowd and a fairly small room, the combination of the heat generated by the crowd in that small space, the length of the sermon, the hour of the night, it's midnight, and the fumes. See, that back then, the lighting was done by fumes from oil lamps, and as that olive oil was burning to give light in the room, it's giving off these noxious kinds of fumes. So you got all this stuff combining together, and all of it together made Eutychus drowsy. You ever been drowsy before? If you have, you know that one nod leads to another nod. And then before long, Eutychus was sound asleep, and he was fallen to the ground. Three stories up, fallen to the ground. The impact didn't wake him up. It killed him. And then in a scene reminiscent of Elijah ministering to the son of the widow in Zarephath, Paul raises Eutychus from the dead. And when Eutychus caught a second wind, so did Paul. And the text tells us that he preached on till daylight. What does the text say to us? To me, right off the top, it testifies to the amazing power of the Holy Spirit, of course. All of Scripture does that. The amazing power of the Holy Spirit to transform us from death to life. In a more simplistic kind of personal way, the text also tells me that if someone would fall asleep in front of the great preacher that Paul was, that I shouldn't be concerned if somebody dozes off in one of my sermons. But more importantly for this morning, here we are on this first time I'm with you in the new year. More importantly for us this morning, I think these few verses underscore the urgent need for all of us to be alert and vigilant as we endeavor to respond to the opportunities and challenges that are sure to be before us in the year ahead. Simply put, as I look at what's ahead, there's no time to snooze in 2022. In a little more than a month, I'll be giving my annual report on last year's activities. I'll be giving my annual report to the parish. And as I enumerate all the things that God did in us and through us last year, as I enumerate that, y'all are going to be amazed. We have so much to celebrate. God is good. And let me tell you, he was really good last year. In the midst of so much mess that we were dealing with, and I'm sure you had your stuff to deal with last year too. But I hope as you look back on last year that in the midst of your mess, you saw that God was at work in that. And you're better for having been through all the travail. And your smile's a little bigger and your steps a little lighter as we gather day after day and as you're about your business in the community. Praise God. But see, the thing is, whenever we get to that place where we're feeling good about ourselves and we're tempted to pat ourselves on the back because we look at how much we did, the temptation is always there in times like that to settle back and to rest on our laurels. But folks, we can't go into this new year with our thoughts lingering on the old year. As we celebrate all that God did in and through us last year, we need to be motivated to vigorously pursue the God-honoring opportunities that are sure to be ahead of us this year. As we start the new year, we need to be empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit so that we are unafraid to continue to reach and risk for Christ. The question before us this morning is, how do we do that in 2022? Well, first, we need to resist overconfidence. Resist overconfidence. That'll lead to your downfall in a minute. It will lead to the downfall of a congregation in a minute. We've got to resist being overconfident, and we need to keep that in mind because the forces of evil are at work now, and they are as real now as they ever have been before. The devil is not napping. Growing numbers of folks around us are struggling to have the basic necessities of life. Shall we say that we've done enough and abandon those who cry out to us? Growing number of folks around us are drifting through life without a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Shall we say that we have all the members that we need and that no one else is welcome? Friends, the price of God-honoring excellence is eternal vigilance. It's persistently addressing the spiritual and the physical needs of everyone who is in our sphere of influence. 2 decades ago, this church was just beginning to emerge from the sleepy little town of Bluffton onto the diocesan stage. At a clergy gathering, a fellow priest said to me, he said, "Chuck, watch out. It's a lot easier to get to the top than it is to stay there." Let me tell you, friends, my motivation has never been to get to the top, whatever that is. I've always been motivated to do my best, and my desire has always been to encourage and motivate all those I'm associated with to do their best as well. I don't know about you, but I've never wanted to be average. I've never wanted to be associated with an average effort, much less an average church. God's given us all kinds of gifts and talents. And I believe that God expects us to use the gifts and talents that He's given us for His glory. And if we're going to do that, we want to do it with excellence. And that requires our best day in and day out. It requires our best individually, and it requires our best each and every day corporately. You need to understand that we're here at the church, we're kind of in a little bubble. In the greater world of Christendom, the devil is wreaking havoc. Recent statistics show that as many as 10,000 churches are closing every year in America. Now let that number sink in a minute. Upwards of 10,000 Christian churches are closing forever every year in the United States. Why do you reckon that is? I believe it's because complacency has become the prevailing emotion in many congregations these days. And let me tell you something. I believe that the devil would like nothing more than to infect our fellowship with the deadly virus of apathy. Apathy. We worry about coronavirus. The devil wants to hit us with the virus of apathy. As the new year begins, we've got to watch out that we don't become overconfident. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to stay awake. There's no time to be snoozing in 2022. Secondly, to be the kingdom building and the God-honoring congregation we're called to be, We must pray that the Holy Spirit will replenish our enthusiasm. Our enthusiasm. Did you come in here today with a long face? Are you looking forward to tomorrow? Are your relationships right in your homes, in the places where you work? Are you enthusiastic to greet each new day? Let me tell you, folks, we're a growing congregation because you're excited. You're excited about the activities you're involved in, and you're excited about the difference that your ministries are making in the lives of others. And because you're excited, you're inviting your friends and neighbors to come and see what God is doing here, to come and think about the difference the Lord could make in their lives. Excitement begets enthusiasm. And enthusiasm benefits us in three ways. First, it makes us open to new experiences and possibilities. I've noticed that as many folks age, something happens to their imagination. Perhaps it's because they've let the bumps and the bruises that result from collisions with reality over the years take a toll on their self-confidence, so much so that they get mired in the present and the past. Clouds seem to hang over every day in their lives. And at night, they toss and they turn because they're haunted by thoughts of what might have been. So much so that they spend their hours squandering the God-given potential that they have, and they settle for what is. Praise the Lord. I have the same desire to see what's over the horizon that I had as a six-year-old child. While my father was serving as a naval officer in the Northern Pacific during the Korean War, my mother and my two sisters and I lived with my maternal grandparents in a little house on Admiral Drive in North Charleston, just a stone's throw or so from the Navy base. One of the great delights of those years was Sunday afternoons when my grandfather would often take me down to the battery in Charleston, and I'd have my cap on there and I'd watch the ships coming and going. And I'd envision myself on one of those ships, speeding into harm's way. And then after a great victory, triumphantly celebrating into some kind of exotic port. Did you have a vivid imagination when you were a child? We all did, didn't we? See? You still have that imagination? Or are you now counted among the many older folks who think that their get up and go has got up and gone? Here's the point. We need to embrace the kind of childlike enthusiasm that once made us open to all kinds of possibilities. I say that because I believe that God is going to surprise us in 2022. I think He's going to surprise us with amazing opportunities that are going to require out-of-the-box thinking and over-the-top faith to capture. Enthusiasm also causes us to be productive. To be productive. See, when we're excited about something, we spring into action. What are you excited about? What are you acting on? A young man gave his sweetheart. We got some sweethearts down here in the second row. Got a lady sitting by herself in the back there that's wishing she had somebody sitting by her. But that's another story. A young fella gave his sweetheart an engagement ring. And as he slipped it on her finger, he said, "The stone's not very big." Her response was precious. She said, "It's as big as we make it." It's as big as we make it. Friends, the way I see it, God has engaged us. He slipped a ring on our fingers when we were baptized. And he's engaged us in a partnership with him. And the fruit of that partnership will ultimately be as big as the level of our excitement. Enthusiasm also keeps us positive. You saw me walk around before the service. I do it at every service that I'm involved with. I walk around saying hello to people, smiling, nodding, bumping fists or shaking hands and giving hugs, whatever works. You ever wonder why I do that? It's because I'm excited about what God is going to do during our time together. And I want you to be excited about it too. That's another reason why we have everybody at some point during every worship service stand and say hello to the folks around them. See? We need to be praying that God will replenish our excitement and our sense of joy about him and about each other. See, enthusiasm is contagious. Shared excitement is multiplied excitement. Enthusiasm is contagious. And then lastly for today, as we celebrate 2021 and we work together in 2022, we've got to remember that everything that we are doing is for Jesus Christ. Friends, we are not building a monument to ourselves here. No, we're building a church on multiple campuses that is worthy of our Savior. Martin Luther King Jr., his holiday is coming up in a week or so. He had a dream about this great nation. Well, I have a dream for this great church. I dream that it will be a unique community in which people are nurtured and supported. I dream that it will be an anticipating church, never satisfied with what is, but always reaching for what is yet to be. I dream that it will be a resourcing church, immediately responding to the cries of those who are needing help. And I dream that it will be a church of excellence, always in pursuit of the highest and the best for Christ. Four words that describe the church in my dreams. Four words that describe us. Community, anticipating, resourcing, excellence. The first letter of each word, when taken together, spells the word care. And see, that's truly what I want us to be. I want us to be a church that cares. We're on our way, praise God. But to transform that dream into reality in 2022 is going to demand our best day in and day out. I'll close with a story, a song, and a legend. As a man and his wife were walking through a neighborhood, the man saw hanging in the windows of some of the houses the silhouette of an open hand. His wife explained that hand hanging in the window of some of the homes was a signal to children in the neighborhood that if they were ever in trouble, all they had to do was find a house that had that hand hanging in the window. And they could run up to the front door and knock on it, and that door would be opened, and they would be welcomed into a safe place. That's what I want our church to be. And I believe it is. A safe place, sheltering you and others from the storms of life. Ken Bedema, The blind songwriter seldom fails to put his finger on a tender nerve. He wrote these words. He said, "If this is not a place where tears are understood, then where shall I go to cry? If this is not a place where my spirit can take wings, then where shall I go to fly?" Whether to cry or to fly, you've come in Christ's name to the right place when you come to the Church of the Cross. And then there's the legend. It's the legend about the day that Jesus ascended into heaven. As Jesus approached his throne, still bearing the marks of the nails on his hands and his feet and the wound in his side, the angel Gabriel said to him, he said, "Master, you must have suffered terribly on earth." Jesus said, "Yes. Yes, I did." Gabriel continued. He said, "Do the people in the world know what you did for them? Do they know how much you love them? Do they know what happened on Calvary's cross? Do they understand? Do they understand all that?" Jesus said, "Not yet. Right now, only a handful of people in Palestine know." Gabriel went on. He said, "Well, then, how will the world ever come to know about you and about your love?" Jesus said, "I've commanded Peter and James and John and a few more of my friends to tell other people about it. And those people will tell other people, and those people will tell still other people. And eventually, my story will spread to the ends of the earth." But Gabriel was skeptical. He knew about human nature. And so he said, well, what if Peter and James and John grow weary? And what if the people that they tell become indifferent, and the ones after them are even more indifferent? What then? What other plan do you have?" The wounded, risen Christ quietly said, "I have no other plan." My sisters and brothers, 20 centuries later, that is still his plan. We are the living embodiment of God's plan for spreading the gospel. And my dear ones, given the magnitude of the task before us, there is no time to be snoozing in 2022. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come together as a group of folks who are going to be going home to houses today, and I bet you in every house there's an easy chair, some big old recliner. Huge. Some of them are huge. And we just can't wait to get there because we love our rest time. We do not like those alarm clocks that go off in the morning. We want to kind of cruise through to the finish line. But Lord, the testimony of your word is that we've never arrived. We never made it to the top. There's more, and there's more, and there's more. And Lord, we find ourselves now in this year of 2022 in a pitched battle with evil. And the statistics say that evil's winning. Churches are closing down all around us. And here we are, kind of in a little bubble at the Church of the Cross, and lots of things are going well. Lord, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Convict us that we cannot rest on our laurels. Open our eyes to see the hurting, to see the lost, and to see you on the cross giving your life for them. Lord, may we give our lives for others. so that they would have life with you for eternity. In your name we do pray it, Lord. Amen and amen.